for me, boy. Yeah.
17:38. I'm like, hey, what's up? Hello. And I get high with my baby, baby. I just left the mall, I'm getting fly with my baby, yeah. And I get ride with my baby, baby.
In week 11 is here, and like Derrick Henry, we're just going to keep motoring through these things. I am Dia out here in Richmond, Texas, and we are joined by our up north correspondent, Chuck. How you doing tonight?
Good.
Chuck, are you on the road or where are you at tonight?
I'm reporting live from the O.
Live from the O. You've got your water bottle situated. It makes a lot of noise. So let's see how many times we can count that it appears tonight.
Mowed through my popcorn already.
It's like your pregame meal.
Mm-hmm.
But you are lacking your other primary substance tonight, Gatorade.
No Gatorade.
No Gatorade.
It's too cold outside to go get Gatorade.
How cold is it?
It's not that cold right now. It's like 30s, but like 30 mile an hour winds.
That seems pretty cold. It is 60 here, which is kind of chilly for here.
I would love 60s. I don't think I'm going to see 60s again the rest of this year.
And that's why you don't live up north, kids.
I lied. It's going to be 61 next Wednesday.
Oh, okay. 61 here now. Chuck, what did you do last football Saturday? Where were you watching games at?
When I was watching the games, I was at home watching the games, but I missed most of the evening games. A little inebriated.
I can see that. You and Rachel just pounding some bottles?
Did some other kind of pounding there, Dia.
Some fist pounding, just like you're playing like, I don't know, like rock, paper, scissors?
Something different.
Okay. I don't know how to transition from that one, so we're going to keep moving. I went to gender reveal party last weekend, which is extremely boring. For one. Second, I thought there was going to be like, I figured we're at this girl's parents' house, and so her dad probably likes football, and they'll have a TV with sports. No, nothing. So I missed lots of games in the afternoon, kept checking on my phone. I probably looked like an asshole, wasn't really engaging a whole lot, but I was tracking games. But anyway, they're having a boy, so hopefully they will learn to have a TV whenever their grandson's around, because he might want to watch football.
Good story, Dia.
It was. It kicked
off.
I'm
sure our audience really cared about that.
Just, you know, keeping it human and humanizing. And we can talk about your popcorn some more.
It's tasty.
Okay. So last week.
Maybe you'll make some more.
No, you're good. Let's just power through without the popcorn. All right. So last week, the first game we talked about was number 6, Baylor went to Kansas State in Manhattan. Jared Stidham ended up having a really good game. He had 3 for 419 yards. But, Chuck, did the Bears cover?
Heck no, dude. You want to know why? Because I bet on Kansas State.
Well, I don't think that's the only reason they didn't cover. They also couldn't cover because they couldn't stop the run option with the quarterback. But there wasn't really much of an option in the sense that he was going to throw the ball. And he also didn't hand off a lot. They just didn't seem to want to tackle him. So it was an agitating standpoint to watch from a Baylor fan perspective, but they went on the road, they got the W, and they're moving on. So survive in advance. The next game, Penn State went to Northwestern, where you were out and about, so maybe you saw this game. The line was 2.
I did not see this game. Reason for that, there was no doubt in my mind that Northwestern wouldn't win this game. However, it was a rude awakening to find out they blew their huge lead and did not cover the 2.5. They only won by 2 points. So Dia hit one of his 2 games for the week.
Ooh, now you're spoiling what I did. Yes, I did cover that game by 0.5 because they only won by 2. So one of the games I missed while I was at this baby shower, Dia, was number 16 Florida State went to the top-ranked Clemson Tigers. Clemson was a 12.5-point favorite. As I figured out while following on my phone, Florida State led at the half, and then that was about all they wrote. Clemson came back, took the lead in the third. Florida State had opportunities in the fourth, and they just couldn't get a drive going, and Clemson ended up shutting the door. They did not cover the 12.5, though. They only won by 10. I want to say the final score is 23-13.
Yep.
So Florida State hung around, made a game of it. They covered, but they couldn't knock off Clemson for the upset. So the
Florida State scored, because I watched this game, Florida State's real only possession of scoring was like a 70-yard touchdown run to start the game by Dalvin Cook. After that, they couldn't do shit. It was just a matter of time until Clemson wore him down and outscored him.
That's pretty much been their offense this year. Dalvin Cook and nothing. But if you wanted to watch scoring at the same time, you had number 7 TCU was a 5.5-point favorite, went to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and they got boat raced. Oklahoma State jumped out quick. TCU was kicking field goals. Josh Doctson got hurt. Still don't really know if he's going to play anymore. Gary Patterson says he will. We'll see, I guess. The game was over in the first quarter. Oklahoma State just took it to TCU. TCU's defense couldn't stop Oklahoma State. Walsh had a good game. They actually ran the ball pretty well. So, ball game over. Our next game, Arizona State went to Washington State. Washington State was a 2.5-point favorite. Will, you got anything on this one?
I followed the game. I did not watch it. Arizona State jumped out to like a 14-0 lead to start the game. Which was good for me since I thought at that point, I thought they were going to kind of run away with it, but that was about all they did. Washington State surprisingly slowed down Arizona State's offense and then just continued to score and kind of ran away with it in the late third, early fourth quarter. I don't remember what the final score was, but I think Wazoo won by like 10-13, something like that.
Mike Leach has him going. Our next game, Cincinnati came to town, gave Houston a test. Gunnar Keel threw for over 500 yards versus the Cougars, but they still came up short. Houston did not cover the 8, though. They only won 33-30. And Greg Ward still looked good, but now it's proven time for Houston. They have Memphis this week. Navy's still on the schedule. So we'll see what the Cougars can do. Speaking of the American, our next game was Navy went to Memphis. Chuck, what do you got on that one?
Could absolutely care less about these American Conference games. Navy beat Memphis, and you want to know why? Because all American teams suck, so they just beat up each other. It's just like playing in the MAC.
Well, while I hear you on that, that's Notre Dame's two best wins is two American League teams. So our next game, number 12, Utah went to Washington. Washington was a 1.5-point favorite, and Utah just took care of business. They went in there, and Travis Wilson didn't have a great game overall, but Devontae Booker ended up having a really good game. He ran the ball like 34 times or something crazy. But they ended up winning the game 34-23, so that one was a pretty comfortable win for them on the road. So they take care of business. The next game was the big game of the weekend. Number 2 LSU at the time went to number 4 Alabama. Alabama was a 6.5-point favorite. Chuck, break down that one for us.
I've got very little to break down. I was out doing life things, so I didn't actually watch the game. Followed it on my phone, just saw kind of what I expected. Like I said last week, Bama would just completely dominate the game. Said they'd win by at least 10, and they ended up winning by, 14?
Yep.
And it was a game that looks, just looking at the scores, looks like it was never in doubt.
It wasn't. So LSU couldn't do too much offensively. Leonard Fournette was shut down. Uncle Brett texted me earlier in the week, last week, that Leonard Fournette's not that great once he gets hit and after contact. And while he wasn't great after contact, he averaged like 1.7 yards a carry. Only one of those yards was before contact after the line of scrimmage of his 31. So their line didn't do all that good. Of course, Brandon Harris couldn't get anything going. So LSU was just dominated defensively, and then their offense couldn't put up any points, and so Alabama was able to do what they wanted defensively, essentially. So,
dude, I find it very interesting. Your Uncle Brett gave you that great insight that LSU is not that great, but then he goes and picks LSU to cover.
We may have to let him comment on that one once he hears this podcast. Our last game of last week, Cal went to Oregon. Oregon was a 4.5-point favorite, and the Ducks offensively look like they're back. Vernon Adams threw for over 300. Royce Freeman.
Return to the quack.
Royce Freeman ran for, I want to say, about 180 yards. He's having a great year, and Cal, again, just, they look good on paper, and they can just never seem to put a season together. So, Oregon wins 44-28. They now move to 6-3, and they have their, I mean, it's not a, I don't know, is it a rivalry game? Is Stanford a rival at this point? I mean, every game they play is, like, massive. Huh? No, like Oregon-Stanford. Is that a rivalry game or just always a good game? I don't know if it counts as a rivalry.
It's not really a rivalry. It's just like a big game. It's like Baylor-OU. That's not a rivalry. It's just a big game.
True. But, yeah, it's always a big game every year now. So they finished their season with Stanford, USC, and Oregon State. So other than Oregon State, it gets pretty tricky these next two games for them. So we'll see what they can do. So last week, as Chuck alluded to, I finished dead last with two of my 10 games correct. So that was pretty terrible. But our guest picker of last week's sums, he tied for the best last week. So he had 7 out of 10. He tied with Sally. Sally was our previous guest before sums. He also had 7. So Sally and Sums were tied at the top. Chuck was 3rd with 5. Caitlin and Callie were tied for 4th with 4 points. Then we had 4 people tied at 3. Brett, Sarah, and of course, because Sarah, Kirch just has the same picks as Sarah every week. So doesn't change anything, just says, give me what Sarah has. So Kirch and Sarah had 3. The White Lion Whitney had 3 also, and I finished last with 2.
Yeah, that's not true. You finished 2nd to last. We've got Matt holding up the bottom with 1.
True, Matt had 1, but Matt only, like, picked 1 game, so he does have 1, though. But
details, Dia. Details.
True. I should just say I didn't finish last. Matt finished last. Overall in the season, Chuck has a comfortable lead going into the last 4 weeks of the season. Chuck has 67 points overall. Whitney has 60. Sally passed me now. He has 59 games. I have 58. Kirch has 47. Matt has 45. Uncle Brett has 43. And Sarah has 42. So a couple good weeks, and Sarah's going to be up. Probably going to pass me, so we'll see how this keeps going. Our guest picker sums last week. On his $1,000 that he had to bet, he ended up with a return of $145. He hit Oklahoma State to beat TCU, and he took the over on SMU Temple. The over-under was 51.5. So between those two, he won money on top of his $600. He also lost the over-under for U of H in Cincinnati and also Washington. Chuck won the week again money-wise. Out of his 5 games, he hit 3 of them. His $200 bet on Okie State covered, his $250 on Bama covered, and his $250 on Nebraska covered. The Nebraska game got interesting with the non-force-out call. But, yeah. So
win's a win, dear.
Win's a win. Michigan State knows that this year, so that's just football karma. So Chuck ended up winning another $336. So on the year, Chuck is now positive 864. And I had to reference positive because I lost money again last week. I lost $236. I won my Penn State bet. I lost my Baylor and TCU bet. So on the year, I was making up ground, about to get back in the black, but now I am down $409 going into week 11. So, that...
You're back where you belong, in the red.
Well, I never left the red, so don't you worry about that.
You're getting dangerously close.
To the black? Yeah, I can kind of flirt with getting over and getting the positive, and then reality hits. So, all right, Chuck. So, since our last podcast, the second playoff rankings came out. I kind of had a whole spiel last week, and Alabama, I mean, I said Alabama shouldn't have been where they were, and then I also prefaced it saying I thought they were going to win, and they did. So, of the rankings that came out this week, anything that you think stands out?
Again, I don't really get too much into these college football playoff rankings because the way that this committee works, they come up with new criteria every week for something, and it's just like it's all for media. It's all for viewership. Like, for example, Iowa, big win over Indiana, magically jumps 5 spots. So until we get to the Final Four, I don't really care too much about it, to be honest. But, I mean, I would have Baylor up higher, not being a homer pick, but I would have Baylor up higher. I just have a hard time having undefeated teams from major conferences behind one-loss teams, and that does include Alabama.
Yeah, I hear you. But then I mean, I'm cool with Iowa for the first time right now because, I mean, Saturday's proving day for Baylor. I mean, if Baylor ends up winning Saturday, it doesn't matter. They're going to jump Iowa. But
well, the other one that, like, completely baffles me is, so you talk about the strength of schedule, blah, 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 and then Oklahoma State is only 8.
Yeah, and you could – I mean, not only can you make the argument, it's an accurate argument. Oklahoma State's best win is better than Ohio State and Baylor's best win, so why are they not ahead of them? And Iowa's. And the funny part about Iowa is that Iowa, not only do they not – like, they're not going to play a ranked team until their championship game, essentially. But in the Big Ten, of course they don't play a round robin because there's 14 teams in that conference. But – they avoid the top 5 teams in the East Conference, in the East Division. So they only get the 2
seller. Yeah, players. Iowa's got a ranked win over Wisconsin. Don't you worry.
Oh, we're going to get there. Don't worry.
And Northwestern.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Northwestern's still ranked somehow.
Best team in the best conference in the country.
Hmm. Yeah. Sure. But, yeah, I mean – they avoid the top 5 teams in the opposing division. So, like, they just got really lucky with scheduling, and your schedule is what it is, right? But, like, they avoid Michigan. They avoid Ohio State. They avoid Sparty. They avoid all these guys until the championship game. So, there's that. And then you brought up the whole Wisconsin thing. I mean, it's kind of been talked about a lot by a lot of other analysts who get paid to do this, unlike us, but – like, Barry Alvarez and Tom Osborne must be just ruling that room, because it happened last year, Minnesota, like, popping up in the top 25, even though no one else really had them as the top 25. I mean, they were a borderline top 25 team. But now we have Wisconsin doing the same thing this year. Like, oh, here they are again, just popping up to 25 to bolster up their top 25 win argument. So it's interesting how that keeps working out. So we'll see what happens with that. So anyway,
you're saying there's a conspiracy going on?
I'm saying that they utilize, it's like I said last week, they make up what they think the ranking should be, and then they just kind of trot Jeff Long out there to spin it any which way, because, like, none of the stuff they say makes sense. Like, now we have to say, okay, well, Stanford had a body clock issue and they lost their first game. Like, okay. And then Notre Dame's loss gets discounted because they lost when it was raining. So you either win or you lose, or you look good or you don't, but then don't make up these BS things. And then, like, what was the other thing? Oh, Notre Dame looks good with their backup quarterbacks. They're getting bonus points for playing with injured players. Like, Alabama doesn't have the chance to play with their backup quarterback, even though their starting quarterback's not that good. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But anyway, so that's all here nor there. Let's get into this week. So this week is an interesting slate. This week, you look at the top-end games, and it looks pretty good. But then when you dig a little bit deeper, not so good.
It's like when you're secretly shitty Saturday.
Yeah, it's the S3 Saturday. Secretly shitty Saturday. And so this week is kind of like when you're at a bar. You look across the bar. You see a good-looking girl. So you go, you know, walk up to go talk to her. And as you get closer, you kind of realize it's not what you thought it was. And so you just kind of do a drive-by. Just walk right past and pretend you're going to get a drink. That's what this week is. It looks okay from afar, but don't get too close and look at the details.
Good analogy, Dia.
I try. So, our first game, though, is the best game of the weekend and one that we are both invested in because of our alma mater. Number 12, Oklahoma, goes to Waco, Texas to play the number 6, Baylor Bears. Baylor is now a 2.5-point favorite. Where do you see this one heading, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm all over this one. And this is not being me being a Baylor homer. I actually bet against Baylor more often than I bet for Baylor. Baylor is generally, when it comes to spreads, they're overvalued and given too many points just because of the high-flying offense. I think 2.5 points is a gift. Baylor does not lose at home. What are we on, like a 15-game winning streak at home?
20,
whatever. A lot of games. Too many to count, Dia.
Longest home winning streak in the country.
We haven't lost in November at home in what? I think it's like 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The other things with – everybody's talking about Oklahoma looks great after getting beat by Texas – after getting beat by Texas. I mean, they have, but they beat up on the bad teams of the Big 12, which Baylor's done as well. The national media sees that Baylor with the backup quarterback only won by 7 points at Kansas State, even though they were up 21 with 10 minutes to go. I think it's also a very bad matchup for Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield hasn't thrown many interceptions, but he holds on to the ball too long in the pocket, which I think will get our defensive line, which we get a lot of pressure with, will create a lot of sacks. Oklahoma they have great running backs. They have an atrocious offensive line, so they're not going to be able to take advantage of the run game like Kansas State was able to. The other thing is on the other side of the ball, and we've seen this for the last 3 years, they don't make any adjustments on defense. At some point in the second quarter, Baylor will find a play that Oklahoma doesn't know how to stop. Last year, it was we'd run a hook route every single play for 9 to 13 yards. They make no adjustments. We'll just keep running the same play over and over and over down the field until we score. I think Baylor wins it pretty easily, probably anywhere between 10 to 13 point win.
Yeah, so you talked about Baker Mayfield. He's flying under the radar for quarterback awards. Like you said, he doesn't throw interceptions. He got a 28-4 touchdown to interception ratio, but he gets sacked a ton. And so, like, he was sacked 6 times versus Texas. He's been sacked. I want to say like they're about 110th in the country in sack percentage given up. So if you're going to hold the ball against Andrew Billings and Sean Oakman, Jamal Palmer, they're going to make you pay. And also, like, Baylor forces turnovers. So, like, you can't hang on to the ball and then come out of it alive in Waco. So he's going to have to take care of the ball. He's going to have to get the ball out. As K-State has shown, Baylor sometimes has an issue stopping the run. And so Shamarja Piran is going to be the key to the game. If he can consistently get yardage, Joe Mixon showed up against Texas Tech a couple weeks ago. The key to this game is going to be how Baylor's cornerbacks can match up to Oklahoma's receivers. Dede Westbrook on the outside might be matched up with Xavier Howard, so that may be a matchup to watch. But their best wideout, Sterling Shepard, they line up in the slot a lot, so it's just going to be what Baylor's going to do to respond to that. Are they going to roll down Trevon Blanchard, or are they just going to put a safety over the top and hope that Orion Stewart doesn't get beat consistently? That's pretty much going to be what the X factor is for Oklahoma's offense. Like you said earlier, though, Oklahoma hasn't figured out how to stop Baylor's offense, and that's pretty apparent last year and the year before. Oklahoma's very good at stopping the run. But they're going to make you pick something. So the whole thing for Baylor's offense is just not turning the ball over. As long as Sidham doesn't throw picks, I think Baylor's going to be fine offensively. They protect him well in the pocket, the Baylor's offensive line does. Zach Sanchez, the best like secondary guy for Oklahoma, is coming back. He was out last game with an ankle sprain. So if you're going to put a guy with the sprained ankle coming back and you're going to match him up with Corey Coleman, good luck with that. So
good luck, Dia.
Good luck. So give me the Bears. I think the Bears win by a touchdown. I mean, the game will be closer than what it looks, I think. But I think Baylor just at night, at home, is very tough to beat, and I just don't think Oklahoma has the players to match up. This will be the best defense Baylor probably sees in the Big 12. Oklahoma State is a better defensive line, but overall, Oklahoma is going to match up okay compared to what they can do, but I just don't think – if this game was in Norman, I think it's a different story. But in Waco, I take the Bears. The offense just plays different at home. So we've rambled on long enough. We're both taking the Bears. It's 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Next game up, Chuck loves talking about the American. Number 21, Memphis, goes to Houston. 24th-ranked Cougars are 7-point favorites. This is the two best quarterbacks in the American with Paxton Lynch, who's getting first-round love from the NFL, and Greg Ward, who will be back in school next year. Greg Ward is the type of quarterback that's going to drive Memphis and Justin Fuente insane. He can run the ball effectively. He can pass. We saw what Navy could do against Memphis last week. It's kind of a whenever you come off playing Navy, your defense is usually a little bit battered because Navy just runs a triple option and all that jazz. So I'm still in the other game. U of H leads the country in turnover margin. I think they're going to be aggressive. I think they're going to force some turnovers from Memphis with Paxton Lynch. He's got to come out of the game without an interception to win the game. He's got some pretty good wideouts in Miles Frazier and Anthony Miller, but I don't think it's enough to win in Houston. I think Houston covers the 7. I think it's close, though. I think they only win by 8-9, but give me the Cougars at home.
Dude, you talked way too long for an American Conference football game.
Two ranked teams.
Memphis plus 7. That's all I'm saying. That was way more than we needed to talk about.
All right, I'll get back into some teams you may know more about. Number 2, Alabama's 8-point favorite going to number 17, the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over Mississippi State in this game. A couple reasons. Mississippi State has quietly been a very solid team this year. They're not real flashy. I mean, Dak Prescott's good. Their wide receivers have been surprisingly a lot better than I thought they would be. Their defense is solid. Alabama's going to be coming off of an emotional letdown after the big up from the LSU game. One little statistic for you. Since Dan Mullen's been an underdog, they are 6-1 against the spread, and 4 of those have been outright wins. Now, I'm not saying that Mississippi State is going to win this game outright, but I think 8 points is a lot of points. Bama's 0-4 at covering the spreads after playing LSU. I think it's just too many points. I see this being a Mississippi State kind of jumps out in front in Stark Vegas. Alabama makes kind of a run at right before halftime or right after halftime, and Alabama wins by 3 to 6 points.
So I'm right there with you. I think this is a letdown alert for Alabama. Dak Prescott is going to throw the ball all over the yard. Mississippi State doesn't really. They don't even try to throw the ball. They try to run the ball that much because they can't with Shumpert. But Dak Prescott has a chance to extend the game with his legs. Alabama, you know, they're coming off the LSU game, a very physical game. Derrick Henry's a beast and is going to run all over Mississippi State because they can't. They're just average at stopping the run. They're not great, but Bama's defense is dominant versus the run. So, of course, Dak's going to try to throw. Daronya Wilson is also somebody watching this game out wide for Dak. I'm with you. I think Bama wins this game, but like we saw with the Tennessee game, and I want to say also the Arkansas game, it's a big enough spread where I think Mississippi State is going to hang around and make it close. So I'm also taking Mississippi State.
What do we got next, dear?
We're staying with the SEC theme. We have Arkansas going to number 9, LSU. LSU's a 7.5-point favorite. Just like the Bama game, I think LSU's coming off a very physical game. But I also don't really like this spot for LSU. I mean, I'm not going to go so far to say they're on upset alert, but I also think Arkansas is going to win this game. I think they're going to jump out to the lead. Brandon Allen's looking very good. He's the best passing quarterback in the conference. The Arkansas offense has actually become really good. We talked earlier in the year about how they couldn't score. Now they're actually putting the ball in the end zone more often. They're converting crazy laterals for 4th-and-25s and beating Ole Miss. Alex Collins should have a pretty good day against the LSU defense. But the Arkansas defense is going to be their ultimate undoing in this game with letting LSU and Leonard Fournette back in the game. I think Arkansas is going to cover the 7.5. I think they're going to have a lead at some point. I just don't think they're going to be able to hold on to it. So, but I'm taking Arkansas to keep this game close in Baton Rouge.
And so, I mean, if you've listened to the podcast all year and you said the same thing, that Arkansas quietly has a very good offense. And until the last couple of games, just didn't really show it because they would their drives would stall after moving the ball 60 yards. The line of 7.5, usually lines like that are right over a touchdown, are begging for people to take, for people to bet on Arkansas in this situation. It's a night game in Baton Rouge. I understand the emotional letdown spot. I personally like Arkansas as a team, but it just feels like just a gut feeling. I think LSU is going to cover the 7.5. I don't know. I can see something like turnovers happening. I don't know, just a gut feeling. My head says Arkansas, my gut says LSU. So I'm going with LSU.
All right, so speaking about where your heart would like to go, we're going to talk about Miami's going to UNC. UNC is a 13-point favorite as the number 23 team in the country. I know you're really excited to talk about this game. This is the game you really pushed to talk about this week, so I'll let you take it away.
Could care less about the freaking ACC.
You don't like conferences that start with the letter A.
No, first letter of the alphabet, get them out of here.
The Atlantic Sun, not about that life.
I don't like shitty football conferences. I'm going to take Miami. I know, and I actually do like UNC. I've bet on them a lot this year. But I think, again, this is a spot where I like Miami coming in. Who did UNC play last week? Duke. UNC played Duke last week, destroyed Duke. I think a little bit of an emotional letdown. I'm going to take Miami to cover 13. UNC's defense is greatly improved from in the past, but I don't know. Two touchdowns seems like a lot to cover. I'm going to take Miami.
Chuck, you like Mac Collins?
No.
No, Matt Collins is a walking fight song for UNC. He's averaging 26 yards a catch. Marquise Williams has been able to run and pass effectively every game of the year.
More of a Switzer fan.
More of a Switzer fan?
Yep.
Okay. Barry?
Is that his first name?
I don't even know who you're talking about.
For UNC, they're wide receiver?
Ooh, like, you lost me a white wide receiver.
He's like Wes Welker. The dude's a star.
Yeah.
Has like 10 punt returns for touchdowns.
Does he? I don't watch enough of that. But anyway.
He was like, I don't know who their best player is.
No way that guy's their best player.
Dude, this fool is sick.
All right, hold on.
This guy's like the white chocolate of college football.
The white chocolate? Ryan Switzer.
Ryan Switzer, yeah.
Okay, I don't have punting stats available, but receiving stats, he's got 35 catches on here for 535 and 4 touchdowns.
Guy's a stud. He's almost as good as Elijah Hood.
You just said that Ryan Switzer was their best player.
He is their best player.
But he's not as good as Elijah Hood.
He's almost... Never mind.
Okay. All right, so Elijah Hood's a good running back also. Miami's rush defense is awful, which is why I think that UNC does cover this game. Elijah Hood should be able to have a great day. Brad Kaye has been very good, and he has a pretty good wide receiving core, but UNC can slow down the pass. Neither defense is good, so I expect a lot of points in this game, so I'm taking UNC to cover the 13.
Dude, you talked longer about Memphis-Houston than you did UNC-Miami.
I live in Houston. I know more about Houston than I do about Ryan Switzer, apparently.
All right, next we got West Virginia at University of Texas at West Virginia. I find myself every week I bet on West Virginia, and every week they're kind of like my kryptonite. They, like, never cover. So my analysis is... One of these damn times they're going to cover, so I'm taking West Virginia.
Yeah, okay, you're taking West Virginia, but just because one time they're going to do it. I have them covering this time. Texas is just going to run the ball. Like, they run constantly. You know what they're going to do. They're just going to run straight at you. Devontae Freeman had a big week last week versus Kansas, so he gives the Longhorns something else that they're able to – somebody else that they have to defend for West Virginia with him and Gerard Hurd. West Virginia, they have a pretty capable front seven. They were better whenever they had Randall earlier in the year, but they're going to stack the box and make Texas throw. I think their defense is good enough to try to dictate that. Wendell Smallwood has been a heck of a running back this year for West Va. Skylar Howard had a rough game, but he's kind of like Trevon Boykin, just going to launch the ball up in the air. All that said, I think West Virginia and Morgantown is like almost two touchdowns better than Texas. I don't really know what Texas is going to run out there. I mean, actually, I do. We've only seen the good Texas once this year, so I'm assuming the bad Texas is still around. So I'm taking West.
What game being played at?
11 a.m.
Ah.
Yeah.
Got some of that Central to East Coast time body travel.
It's that body clock.
Yep.
Yep.
So Texas can – we can understand if Texas loses this game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the committee's eyes, they will be – I mean, they're absolutely okay to lose this game. So, speaking of losing games, we're going to go back to
Dia's picks.
Yeah, we're going to go back to my picks. Had this on the sheet initially, took it off, put it back on there. Georgia's going to Auburn. Auburn's a two-point favorite at home coming off the big win over A&M last week. You got a lead in this one?
Yeah, I mean, to me, a lot of these games suck, and I'm not real confident in any of these. Other than the big games. To me, this one's more just an interesting storyline revolving around the game. Auburn has slowly started to get a little bit better on offense. Their defense, they got Lawson back, is playing a little bit better. A&M, who I said earlier in the season was the best team in the SEC, which I still would believe if Kyle Allen was the quarterback, but someone's an idiot and he's playing Kyler Murray. I don't think Auburn's win last week is really as impressive as people think it is, because I think that's a shitty A&M team now that they got rid of Kyle Allen. I think the interesting part is that I think Mark Richt might be gone if they lose to Auburn. For where they started out and to have four losses at this point, if they lose to Auburn, I think it'd finally be the writing on the wall for them. So I think Georgia's going to come out and win, partially because I don't think Auburn's as good as people think now.
I've gone back and forth on this game. What's throwing me off is Grayson Lambert, not that good. And I don't know what exactly he's going to do against like the Will Muschamp defense. And it's not a good defense, let's be clear about that. But Auburn's offense has gotten better, as you said, the last couple weeks. Their defense is really tough to overcome. The Georgia rushing attack is pretty good. I mean, it's not good. It's not pretty good. It's their best aspect of their offense. So they're going to run straight at you. Auburn is actually a better scoring offense when it comes to points per drive. So I think that may be something to look at home. Basically, we're saying that Georgia's going to win by one on a neutral field. So these are kind of the same teams. So that's why I've gone back and forth on it. I think Auburn's going to cover the two, and I think they're going to win at home, and I'm going to go ahead and lay the point. So I'm taking Auburn. I'm not confident in that, but
– another losing pick, do you?
Could be. Let's flip that around. I tucked in the wrong game. All right. Our next game up, we kind of referenced earlier. Oregon is going to number 7 Stanford. Stanford's a 10-point favorite. Chuck, you love your Ducks. They going to cover the 10?
I love my Ducks, and they're going to cover the 10. Oregon is playing some of their best football of the year. They're a little slow to start out the season, but they've gotten better and better as the season's gone on. Obviously not as good as last year's team. I think the key thing is, are they going to be able to stop Stanford? I don't know. Washington State slowed them down, so why can't Oregon? These are two teams that are usually playing every year for the Pac-12 North Championship. I think so. They're not afraid of each other. They know each other very well. I think 10 points is a lot of points to cover. I do think Stanford still ultimately wins the game, but I'm gonna take 10 points.
Yeah, so I came to the same end result as you. I don't have Oregon winning. I think they covered the 10. Kevin Holgan is going to do what he does and just extend drives and make plays when he needs to. Stanford is very balanced on offense. They're 45th in rushing yards per play, and yards per play rushing, and 46th in passing yards per play. So they're very balanced. Vernon Adams had his best game of his career basically last week. So if he can continue that, that would be great for Oregon's offense. Royce Freeman, if Oregon had a better record, he'd be right in that Heisman hunt. He has 700-yard games this year, so he's probably going to have number 8 against Stanford this weekend. Christian McCaffrey is an interesting story because he's doing so well. He has 230 touches on the year. So of their plays they've run offensively, he touches the ball in 37% of them. So passing, rushing, he's getting the ball. I got Oregon to probably lose by a field goal in Palo Alto. I just think they're able to cover the 10 that they're getting. We're staying in the Pac-12. We have Utah as a 6-point favorite going to Arizona. Chuck, can the Utes, like, pass another test on the road?
Nope.
Not going to do it.
Arizona wins this game straight up. I mean, I'll take the 6 points. So, I mean, as you can tell, every week bet against Utah. I think they're overrated. I mean, they're a solid football team. They're just not dynamic enough for me to win. Arizona's going to be one of the best offenses they've seen all year. Arizona at home, they perform much better. They don't turn the ball over as much. I mean, really, this game's going to come down to how often does Arizona turn the ball over on offense. Arizona's defense isn't that great, but Utah's offense is so poor. They're going to score, but I don't know if they're going to score enough to keep up with Arizona. I lost where I was going to go with this. Oh, and so, I mean, this game kind of reminds me of Arizona-Oregon from last year, where everybody thinks that the other team's better. Arizona at home, night game. I think Arizona wins straight up. I don't think Utah can keep up with Arizona's offense.
This feels weird to say, but I'm right there with you again. So,
dang it, I'm going to have a bad week.
Yeah, probably so. Washington's the only defense to stop Arizona all year, and I don't think Utah's defense is what Washington is. I don't trust Travis Wilson. He struggled versus Washington State last week, but the game wasn't really in doubt because Devontae Booker just I was going to say did his thing, but like he's not averaging over 5 yards to carry anything impressive. He just gets the ball a ton, and you know what they're going to do. But like you're saying, like if you're just going to run straight ahead with Booker, you're not going to be able to keep up with Arizona's offense, I believe. Devontae Booker last week had 34 touches, but he didn't have a single run over 20 yards. So when you're not explosive, you're going to have problems when you go on the road. I think Arizona's going to cover the 6. I think you're getting value since they've lost the last 3 games. So I'm taking the 6, and they may win outright. I don't know if I'm right there with you, they're going to win, but they're going to make this a heck of a game Saturday night. So take the Wildcats. And basketball season starts, so all their fans will be amped over that too.
It's football season, Dia.
2 more games left on the card, Chuck. We're going to go back to the games you wanted now. Michigan.
13. Whoa. I asked to have Utah put Arizona put on. I definitely did not ask to have K-State Texas Tech put on.
But this next game was all about Chuck. Michigan's a 13-point favorite going to Indiana, the Mighty Hoosiers.
Yeah, so I requested this one and Arizona. I'm going to go back to the well with Indiana like I did last week. 13 points. Michigan, I mean, they're a solid team. I think they're still an overrated team, kind of like I think most Big Ten teams are. 13 points is a lot of points for them to cover against a team that can score points. I watched the Indiana-Iowa game last week. Indiana had a lot of drop pass, should have easily covered the 7, if not had a chance to win the game and it'd be a field goal type game either way. But they made too many mistakes. I don't think Indiana makes as many mistakes this time. I've got Michigan winning, but Indiana loses by 3 to 7 points.
Yeah, I have Michigan all the way in this thing. Jake Rudock actually had a really good game for him last week. I mean, not for him, just for most people. He had over 300 yards passing. I think that might be his first 300-yard passing game he's had in his career at Michigan. Devon Smith in the backfield for Michigan is just a dude. He's not great. Just handling the ball, it kind of falls forward, gets a couple yards, big guy. It's about all he's got. Perception will tell you Indiana has a more explosive offense from what they had a couple years ago, but they're pretty similar offenses when it comes to, like, actually efficiency and scoring. So, but Michigan's defense to me is the difference. I think they're going to shut down Indiana. To me, I think the better play is the under in this game. I think the over-under on points is 56. But I think Michigan is going to win. I think they're going to, like, beat the spread of 13. So I'm taking the blue. You made an oh sound on the 56. Is that?
I think this game goes over that. But I guess, I mean, if I'm going with Indiana, I probably obviously think there's higher scoring.
Yeah. So speaking of high scoring, let's talk about Texas Tech, K-State. K-State goes to Lubbock, and the Red Raiders are a 5.5-point favorite. Chuck, in honor of our boy Durs, what do you have on this game?
I don't know if I'm really honoring Durs with this pick I've got. I'm going with K-State to cover. I don't think Texas Tech will be able to stop Kansas State from running, kind of like we saw last week with Baylor. K-State's just going to try and eat the clock. Texas Tech's going to score their points. I just think turnover is going to happen, and Kansas State's just going to dominate ball control. Kind of boring style for, against Texas Tech's high-flying style. I got K-State, I don't know. I see it as a field goal game either way.
I think Lubbock's a very tough place to go and win, but Texas Tech's run defense has just been horrific this year. And so you know what Bill Snyder's going to want to do? I think it's going to be a similar game plan to what against he had Baylor last week. They're going to run the ball and try to limit possessions for the opposing offense who can score a lot. Fortunately, Texas Tech's defense is very bad in pretty much every aspect. So I think K-State's going to keep this game close. I'm with you. I think it's a field goal game. I don't think it's something where they're going to get run off the field, Lubbock, and I don't think they're going to run the Raiders off the field either. So I think K-State's going to cover this game, and Snyder's going to do his thing again.
Dude, did you pick all the same games I did?
No, we have Auburn-Georgia different. We have UNC-Miami. We have LSU-Arkansas different. And your favorite, Memphis-Houston different.
Oh, so I still have a chance at an okay week then.
Yeah, you might. We'll see. All right, so Chuck, where are you laying your money at this week? Oh, but hold on. Is there any off-the-board picks you have? You're 3 for 3 in your off-the-board picks.
All right, I got an off-the-board pick for you. Not as confident since I put some of my off-the-board picks back into games for us to talk about. But there's one other game that I do like, and that is Rutgers to cover, I think it's 8.5 or 9 against Nebraska. The reason is Nebraska is going to be in for an emotional letdown after that big win. I think Nebraska is still going to win the game because Rutgers just isn't that good. But Rutgers can score points. So, I mean, for a team that sucks, I don't think they're going to get blown off the field by a team like Nebraska that doesn't score a whole ton of points and doesn't have a great defense, just kind of middle of the road. So I just don't see them losing or winning by more than 10 points.
I got one for you. I have Iowa State as +14 versus Oklahoma State at home.
I think Iowa State?
Yeah. I think they're able to do enough. I think they'll be able to hold it close. Oklahoma State's kind of a trap game for them. Between blowing out TCU and having Baylor next week, I just don't think that they may be all invested into Iowa State as it should be. And Paul Rhodes will beat you if you're not paying attention. So I don't think they lose. I just think that Ohio State covers the 14.
Do we all remember last time an undefeated OK State team walked into Ames?
I don't think that was the last time they went there.
Undefeated Oklahoma State.
Undefeated, yeah. No, in 2013 they weren't undefeated, that's for sure. They were definitely defeated by that point. All right, Chuck, $1,000. Where are you going with it?
I'm putting just second.
All right. Well, you're figuring yours out. I know where I'm going.
All right, I got figured out.
Okay. I'm still going to go first. I'm putting 400 on the Bears to cover the 2.5. I'm putting 200 on Mississippi State. And with my remaining 4, I am going – I don't know. Hold on. All right, I got 600. You go ahead with yours. I thought I had it all figured out.
400, Baylor. 400, Mississippi State. 200, Arizona.
All right, so for my remaining 4, I'm going to put 200 on Michigan. And my remaining 200, I am going to go ahead and put on – I'm going to go ahead and put it on Oregon. So, we have 2 of our games in common, and then I have 2 that you don't have, and you have 1 I don't. So, we'll see how this goes.
Way to sum that up, do you?
I know. My math skills are excellent. Anyway, all right. So, week 11 is upon us. We are in the back end of the season. Lots of ranked teams coming up. It's all going to sort itself out. People are eliminating themselves from the playoff as we go through this, so this should be interesting. And we're getting closer and closer to bowl games, which we can have Jaws on and talk about those. So,
can't wait.
Can't wait to talk to our boy Jaws. We've been putting him off. Anyway, all right, until next week, I am Dia, Chuck up in the O. We are out of here.
Peace out.